Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, we're back at the ranch inside the Ticketmaster Studios. Carl's on vacay. Points unknown. Carl does not tell his coach where he goes on vacation. He likes to keep it secret. Bo is in. Coach just came in during the commercial break. He goes, what's he doing here?
Well, he's not used to me talking and asking questions. He's used to just me standing over there while Arch talks to Ross.
So as opposed to bad cop, it's good cop, bad cop.
Today. Well, I don't ever really worry about the bad cop thing. You guys just speak your version of the truth. And I just learned so much about you.
I
was on a commercial break.
Because I'm not wearing a hat today?
I mean, you guys got to see the lettuce on this guy. The haircut is phenomenal.
Thank you.
The beard is trimmed up well. He's going out to dinner tonight.
Right.
And he was also a stand-up comedian, which I had no idea.
Yeah, I did that for years.
Believe it or not, I don't listen to this one bit when I'm not on.
Well,
I don't blame you.
No, it's not that way. You know, you guys got to talk bad about me. I just got to get on and be free friends. So
don't worry about it. No, but we said this. We were talking about this during the show. We said, you know, we're disappointed this season, but we always have a good civil conversation with Coach Ra and where things are going. And we'll start it off, man. Dive right in. You said it yourself. Special teams were awful, man. How come we can't? Why can't we fix special teams?
You know, it was a challenging day to begin with. We knew that going in. It was the reason we made some decisions to kick the ball in the end zone. When we took the lead there. You know, I made a decision to kick it off to him. So, you know, try to gain some momentum, get him pinned back right there, go out there and get a stop, and you can really put the game away. But that turned to me very quickly with the long kickoff return, and that went all downhill. Now, great job by our defense going out, getting a big-time three and out, you know, giving us the fighting chance to be able to do some really good things there. But, you know, when you put together the bad decision on the punt return, and you put together the kickoff return, and some of that stuff, that's just always going to be an awful day. And you never really want to ever point the finger at one side of the ball or one phase or one thing. But in this particular game, you just had to be honest. And I felt like it's always the best punt is to be honest with you guys and honest with your fans and everybody that's listening, because you have to be. Like, it's not pointing the fingers, not blaming. It's something that we got to fix, something that I'm a part of, something that we're all a part of. But at the same time, you just got to be honest with everybody that's a part of it.
Well, what does it look like fixing it? Because I know the fans, we hear you talking. It's okay. Well, we're trying, but it feels like a couple of times this guy's getting pinned right on the inside, and they're bouncing these kickoff returns outside. What goes into that fixing that? Because it just seems like it's happening over and over again. The Agnew thing is just a mental mistake. We can knock that up. And the pinion punt at the end of the game is kind of, it's just a miss kick. It's nothing you can do about that. But how are you guys actually going about fixing it?
So, you know, when you're talking about the kickoff, you know, you're talking about, it's not always the same problem. You know, it is what it is. You can't make the same mistake. You know, and when you're going down and you're covering your lanes, it's usually owning your leverage. And when one guy doesn't own their leverage, as you guys know, you get into a problem. It's like a bad run fit. One guy has a bad run fit, it pops out, and then it depends on how far it can get. And this one got way too far, right? And we had the bad run fit with one guy not doing their job. That's a problem. Like, everybody has to do their job. Like, when you go out there and hit stop the run, all 11 guys got to do it. It's one big run fit just in a lot of space. And you got to be able to control that space. So when you go out there, you got to stress the importance of maintaining your leverage, being able to shed a block, come off and make the tackle. And then you don't have to do it. You know, like Marquis says it all the time. If one guy makes one mistake, he stresses out everybody else in the coverage, and it makes everybody else expend more energy. And that's exactly what happened on that play.
We talked about it with Arch yesterday on the his conversation with us on the air with Duke Sabel. Just some just out of the curiosity, you like getting the ball to start the game just to try to feel get some pressure? Because I know the conventional wisdom says try to flip it and get them. And it doesn't matter because you got the Jets on a three and out in the second half. But just philosophically, you like having a ball?
Pretty excited about getting the ball first. I like going out there, letting them touch it, let them run the football, you know, get Bijan going, get him touches, establish it, and really – the reason we like to do it is also for time possession. You know, there was a time in the league when we were like second in the league in time possession when we were able to control the ball that way. Because if you do come out, I know a lot of people like to play the whole flip game. If you can go score right before half and then get the ball back and score again, you can get the flip game. But what we like to do is go out and get that three and out, that early stop on defense, set the tone, get the ball back like we're able to do a lot of times this year, and then give your offense right back the ball. And it's almost like you got the ball twice to start the half. So, you know, really, it can be kind of an advantage for us that time has worked out in our favor in moments.
Right.
You know, the Bills game, particularly, that we think about. And really, in this game, we let in time possession and really had no business doing that with some of the things that happened. But that's kind of the theory. And we like to do that when it presents itself. But, you know, like you said, like people like to do the other way and, you know, and kick off a lot of times. So you get the ball a lot and all those things happen.
Coach Raheem Morris is with us, guys, on Duke Sabel with Bo in today for Carl. The defense, we talked about, unfortunately, the special teams gaffe. They do hold them to a field goal. It just seems like, and this is where we get into, like, can you get four quarters? Because, man, that last drive where Tyrod Taylor looks like Mike Vick.
Yeah, he was.
And it was just, when you look at the film, it was just, was it discipline, or you just trip your cap to what the Jets were doing?
No, it's one of the things where you have the ability. We've improved our rush so much. And you go out there and you improve your rush, and then there's one moment where one guy, again, could mess up, and he's able to get out and scramble. And he's scrambling on one play, and one made one big play. We have to run him down from safety position, put him in position. And then he made the big play on the scramble, obviously, to score the touchdown that he made. He made a couple people miss in those situations. He's got the ability to do that. He's not Mike Vick. Went to the same school, nice comparison, but he certainly has a little bit of ability to make people miss, and a lot of quarterbacks in this league do. And it's kind of become more prevalent in our league, and you got to be able to maintain that and do a better job there.
Look, Mike was asking me earlier on the podcast he was talking about off the air about Kirk Cousins and what was the difference in Miami and New Orleans.
Huge.
And the game last week. And I was saying I think it looks like a confidence thing, but he's doing things that I don't think we saw him do last. Like the sight adjustment stuff was one thing. The throw to Algier, right, where it looks like Algier dances around the guy coming off the edge, and Kirk, I don't know if it was hot or not. I'm not smart enough to know that kind of stuff. I listened to a guy who's smart enough over there in Arch during the game, but that was a great
watching,
the audibles
judging.
To the Sills play for the touchdown. Let's talk about where he is now compared to where he was in the Miami game.
Well, the Miami game is a tough situation for anybody. You know, it was kind of the up-in-the-air week. Is Mike playing? Is he not? You're preparing like you're the starter. You get thrown into the role right away, and you got to go. And then you go out there and you play, and you don't play as well as you want to play. That happens to a bunch of them. But the last 2 weeks versus the Saints and obviously the Jets, you go out and he gets all the preparation. He gets all the meeting time. He's able to go up, make all his corrections. He's able to go look at it on tape. He's able to get back out there. He's able to go refine it in the walkthrough. You take the walkthrough. You get all those things done. Whatever you don't like, you can scrap. The things you like, you can emphasize. And you go out there and you do it. And it's just showing up in the game. Just the little things you're talking about. Having the comfort and ability to step under protection and breaks down and step up and dump that ball to Algier. I usually don't get as excited about a lot of plays. I got excited about that one because I knew the details and the intricate movement he had to make to get up there and throw that ball to the right area to get it to Algier, to allow Algier to get a 32-yard gain, which was special. And then we come out, we get a zero pressure down in the red zone. We're able to check to one of our screens. We get the screen off. Boom. Seals make a great catch on an ugly throw. We get the ball in our hands. Seals finds a way to get in the end zone. And, like, that's execution. And that's the thing we got to be able to maintain more. And that's the growth and the development that I'm able to see within the team and within the framework of all of us. And, like, you know, not to mention what we've been able to do in the red zone the last couple of weeks. So it's been outstanding. You know, we get down there, we score. And that's been great.
We talked about it earlier in the show. I thought Kyle Pitts had a pretty good day in the office. I mean, I know as far as maybe in some of the run blocking schemes, if you missed some things, but it seems like he was active. He was running with some purpose. So you like what you got from Pitts this week?
You know, what he gave us was like, you know, it's like kid ourselves. Like he's been, you know, sort of standing in for the acting Drake route, right? So he's been able to go in there and be targeted. I believe was 7 of 8 of the targets. Wish he'd have got that 8th one. That could have been a big difference in the
contested
game.
Contested ball late.
Contested ball.
Put it there,
you know, we're a little bit late. I still think he can make the catch or potentially a flag. But all those things happen in the game for a reason. But, like, I'm really pleased with where Kyle is and the intent that he's playing with, you know, like in the blocking as well. You know, I don't want to take away and discredit what he's doing in the blocking. I got some real good tape when you show him getting four hands on people. Really doing some violent things for us. It's been good.
The problem is, we said, you know, Sills makes that catch at the end zone, but can't make the catch. And that gets back to that whatever it is, the four quarters, because I thought Kirk, too, and Bo and I were talking about it earlier, I thought he hit the guys in the hands. I think you don't have your best, as you mentioned, not having
Drake. We're not going to make those excuses, Mike. You know, like, we had, like, plays, we had opportunities in that last three plays to make all three of those plays. You know, we talked about Kyle Pitts one, you just mentioned the Seals, but even the last play to Mooney. I mean, that hits him in the hands. And we got to, if one person can make that play, we're down right in position. To figure out 47 seconds left, two timeouts. It's going to be about, you know, who knows, you know, 40, you know, 230, whatever seconds, and you're calling timeout. You're banging it. You need about five more yards to put yourself in position for a long field goal. And then you're making a choice of whether you're getting closer and how you want to do that. Now that puts, you know, obviously Tyler and Bijan back into the game with the run game because you still got a timeout. Your screen game's still alive. You got the whole playbook right in front of you. Don't have to rush out of bounds. And then you can make a decision to, you know, eat the clock up, kick the game, win a field goal, get out of Dodge. That didn't happen. Because we got to make one of those plays, and you got to make that play.
Yeah. I know you explained a couple weeks ago to Mike and Carl about what week to week means and day to day means. I figured it out with AJ, but also I think I speak a little bit of Coach Rye. You said something in the press conference, if it was accurately quoted, about when it's safe to play Drake, you'll play him. How much of that safe consideration comes in the fact that you're going to play Sunday and then turn around and play Thursday? And that's a tough ask for him. Is that into the consideration of where he might be?
I think for me, it's all about the people. It's about our people and our guys. Like, I got so much care for these guys. I want to make sure they're as healthy as they can be to get out there. And we want to make sure that they are not in harm's way by any way. And so we'll always make sure that we always take that into, you know, consideration. I mean, you're talking about playing a game in, you know, short amount of time, two games. So we got to check. We got to make sure. We got to figure it out. And what's that going to look like? And what's it going to look like for Drake, more importantly than anything else? And, like, that's first and foremost got to be about the people. And then after that, it's about how do we do it without it, or how do we do it with them? And I think Drake is he'll communicate at a very high level with our doctors, with our people, to make sure we can figure out what we need to do.
Coach Raheem Morris, guys, with us live on Duke Sabella inside the Ticketmaster Studios. You brought some people in to work out at wide receiver. See anything you liked?
We bring in people, you know, every Tuesday. And then, like, all of those workouts, you bring those guys in. You always see people you like. You always get people to rotate in and find out what's going on. You know, we bring in wideouts before. We bring in linebackers. We bring in a bunch of people. You know, our guys upstairs consistently trying to turn over the bottom of the roster or really see what's going on, what's out there. You know, there's a couple of different leagues that just ended that are, you know, trying out guys and things of that nature, see what's going on. So we're always doing that.
And then Seattle, we know they got a really tough defensive front, physical. They got some dudes. What do you see on film? What are they doing?
They got a tough everything. You know, like, they're a good football team. And I really like how they've been built. I really like what they've done, you know, starting with their general manager and what they've been able to do. Let's be honest. They're one of the teams that you stole the model from, right? Starts up front with those guys. And when you got Leonard Williams, Byron Murphy, you got Mafe, you got, you know, D. Hall, you go out and get Lawrence and free agency. You got first rounders and second rounders all over the place in that D line. And, you know, that's what we've been doing over the last couple of years, you know, with the Dorlis and the Rook this year, with the James and the Jalen, trying to build that thing up so you can build it up into that type of a model. They went out and got Ernest Jones in free agency. We went and got Devine. They went out and drafted the Dick Nickel. We went and got Billy Bowman. We went and got Watt. You know, they had guys like Kobe Bryant. They got guys in their defense. Witherspoon, who's one of the better cornerbacks in the league. We got A.J. Terrell. They built it the right way. They've done a great job. They've been able to rush the pass in known situations. They've been able to stop the run. And they've been able to dictate terms for the most of the year. And, like, they're making winning look easy. You know, right now we're making it hard, and we got to find a way to make it look easy like those guys are.
Well, and they've only given up, I think, like 20 sacks this year or something. They've been pretty good up 15, actually, I think it is, up front. James Pierce has played with his hair on fire seemingly the last 3 or 4 weeks. He had, I think, like 1.5 sacks for forever. Now he's up to 5. What has unlocked him? Because he did a spin move on Mimbu last week that honestly was pretty sick.
Bo, it's crazy. Like, I talk about it with these guys all the time. You don't get a chance to talk. I like you, Bo. I don't get a chance to talk with these guys. I like you way better than these guys.
Well,
I don't get a chance to talk to you much, but, like, I was telling these guys, I'm like, you know, like, I don't just look at the number of sacks, right? I can go back to the Tampa game he affected and just getting, you know, Baker off the spot, moving him all over the place. And we played pretty good defense other than Baker scrambling around in a couple plays.
Right.
So then we came back the following week versus Minnesota, and James probably fell off 2 sacks that game, you know, where he maybe three, you know, yeah, where he caused it, fell off of it, was a part of it, whatever. And then I just watched him get better and better every single week. And then, you know, I watch him work on different moves in practice, and he's been working on that spin move probably for about, I say, over the last 5 weeks. the start of practice. I've been watching to work on, and then it came to life in a really big moment. That could have been a walk-off win for us. And like, I'm so proud of all those guys and how they've been working up front.
What is the difference, though? Because he did have high pressure rates. You're absolutely right. I was keeping up with that. But what's the difference, and how did he figure out how to finish? Because he's getting there, and other guys were getting his sacks, essentially, but now he's finishing.
I think it's the intent. I think it was his intent in the walkthrough. I think it's the understanding of the defense. I think it's the knowing when you can turn it loose and when you can go. You definitely see he's not thinking nearly as much as he was at the beginning of the season. He's not playing nearly as tentative he did. And that's all expected when you're talking about a first-year player out there. And, like, when do you get off the ball? When am I letting it go? When am I ripping it? You know, I think all these things seem, like, really easy to the normal guy. But when you're out there and it's got real intent behind the call and, right, you know, people are counting you to do the right thing, I think that's really important for him to start to get.
Wrapping up with Coach Raheem Morris. And, again, Chris Lindstrom, guys, going to be our player guest later here live from Falcons. Just to wrap it up, you know, we've talked about expectations. I know you meet with Arthur Blank each week. We talk about it. You know, we're honest. We never say anything on the radio. We're not going to say. I said, if I ran this team, I don't think I'm bringing you back, Coach.
Yeah.
But what do you say to the audience and to fans out there like me that have season tickets that say, because I know you just talked about, you got so many young studs on this team. Fire breathers. Terry got you at edge rush and Bowman. And we already talked about Jalen and Pierce. We know that Bijan and when Drake's out there, what you got. I mean, what do you say to fans who say, you know, Coach, I don't know. Why should I bring you back next year?
You know, I don't think I can say it to the fans. I think you got to show them, right? So I think it's about building the process, right? So what are we doing? We went out and got a young quarterback. A young quarterback got hurt. We got to bring him back. Can't wait for him to get back. We went out and got a bunch of young studs on defense. They're starting to play better. And you just can't build a thing overnight. And we're building it. And it's a process. And you want to see steady improvement. We had a little bit of a drop-off. And now we want to finish this thing the right way and do things the right way and go about our business so we can make sure we can finish it the right way. You never know what's going to happen. But all I know is this, is our job is to win. We're in the business of football, but our job is to win, and we got to go out there and do those things. Like, and right, we can figure it out. Like, you know, like you saying that doesn't hurt my feelings. You know, like I think we're in the business of entertainment.
We're all, that's where it comes from. We're all penciled in. We got to put up numbers. You got to put up numbers.
That's where it all comes right from. I think you can't duck or you can't hide from that either. So like, I like for us is like, you know, I hate the guys that get sensitive about that. Like, for me, it's like, hey, man, you got to do your job. And I'm going to do it. I got a lot of belief in myself to do it. I got a lot of belief in this building. I got a lot of belief in the people in around here. And we got to get it done.
All right, man. Well, hey, go get it done against Seattle. We'll be there.
All right, brother.
And we'll talk to you next week. That's Raheem Morris, guys. Again, thanks for the time. Thanks to Bass, again, as always.
And, guys, this is also why I like Bo better than Mike.
Hey, man, we'll come back. Wes Drew Ham is coming up next. Wes Durham's going to join us. We'll get his take on the College Football Playoff Committee. I mean, I understand why the teams are there. I just understand how they explained why the teams are there. Wes is next right here on 92.9 The Game.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. A lot of folks reacting to our conversation with Raheem Morris today. And look, guys, we keep it real. Carl and I always say on the show, there's nothing we wouldn't say that we don't say to somebody face-to-face. I know it's not something that happens very often in 2025 with the world of social media. But, I mean, we try to live by that. I always joked around with Bo when Bo was my producer back in the old days about first time I saw Jim Rome. And Jim Rome would be, like, killing somebody. They'd get him on the show, and he's you know, it's just not the way we operate.
He stopped with Jim Everett.
Well, and even that was a bit contrived.
Mike, that's where I get frustrated.
Right.
Is with the bloggers and you know these team fan sites where they sometimes pop up and cover the team and do everything. They can say whatever they want. There's no accountability. Most of them don't hold credentials. Most of them don't ever sit in a scrum right. and ask the coach a question. And so they can do whatever they want. And people are like, "Well, you guys do this." Well, you know why? Because we want to continue to give you that access. And if we step on ourselves by being fake tough guys, or you know, then we ruin that. Because what's coach going to do?
Right. I mean, no, that's just it. As I said, you got to find the balance between hard questions being civil, because we're going to be here all year. A guy we can always be civil with because he's just that good, and he's the gold standard. It's Wes Drew. Say it with me, Squid. Wes Durham joins us, guys. As the College Football Playoff Committee, we'll talk some Falcons on the back end, Wes. We'll jump right into college football. I understand what they did, but they don't do a great job of explaining why they did it.
No, it's a committee that lives in vague, quite frankly, Mike. A bunch of word salads, and it feels like it's almost like political stumping every Tuesday night, doesn't it? I mean, it's just... You know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens here, because this is the first time. It's one of the things that I was talking to somebody at Syracuse last night who kind of sees college football and college basketball from afar. And he said this is the first time they've had a back end issue that involves so many schools. You know, even in the 14 playoff, they never really had more than two. You know, you've got three schools here. You've got Texas. You've got Miami. You have Notre Dame, you have BYU, and potentially you have Alabama if Georgia smokes them on Saturday. So it's going to get really interesting. And it's frustrating for the fan base, because as much as everybody wanted a 12-team playoff, this 12-team playoff now has created, you know, more conjecture than it has solution. But here's the fun part. And I reminded the guy last night, we were talking at the basketball game up there about this. I said, yeah, but it's driven the regular season to a premium now that nobody's ever seen before. I mean, we're talking about week one. We're talking about a week one game involving Miami and Notre Dame that would not be accounted for potentially by this committee. And then we're talking about a game that was played last week between Alabama and Auburn that Auburn damn near won. If Cam Coleman doesn't fumble the ball on the great hit that Alabama makes, how does that game end up?
Right.
And if Alabama were to lose Saturday, would they be potentially out with three losses? And would that fan base be turned away again? And it's just amazing what this thing has become. But in terms of clarity, no, hell no, we got none of that right now.
I got so many things to say about your actual answer, but I have to ask you, in 2 minutes or less, explain to me like I'm five why Duke is playing in the ACC title game over Miami.
Because in spring of 2023, the ACC took down the division walls.
Right.
They got rid of the Atlantic and the Coastal. And the football coaches and the associate commissioner in the ACC for football had to create a tie-breaking procedure. That tie-breaking procedure is seven steps. The tie-breaking procedure was then ratified by the athletic directors, and thus it became kind of the law, if you will.
Right.
And the fifth tiebreaker is the reason Duke is in the championship game opposite of Virginia on Saturday night, and that is conference record, conference opponent's overall record. And Roddy Jones did this the other day on our SiriusXM show, Bo. Roddy Jones came up with three plays during the course of the regular season that if those plays, not games, plays, if plays in that game, including Louisville and Cal's overtime game, that went to review on the Cal touchdown, right? Mm-hmm. If that had been ruled that Cal was out of bounds and not in bounds, somebody other than Duke would have been playing the championship game. I think it was Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where the ACC's tie-breaking procedure went. To give you another idea, the American, their tie-breaking procedure is head-to-head, And the second tiebreaker is highest rated college football playoff team. If the ACC had had that, you'd have Virginia, Miami on Saturday night, and we wouldn't be having this, you know, right, moment of doomsday for the ACC.
Yeah, it just, it's hard to wrap your head around that. That is the explanation from Wes Durham right there, guys, Mr. ACC. But it is just, still, it's one that doesn't pass the eye test. Wes, as we used to joke around with it, remember Johnny Carson? Unfortunately, we didn't get to Bruno Kirby tonight. We're going to have to bump him. We're going to have to bump your brother because Chris Lindstrom just rolled in, man.
I'd much rather you talk to Chris Lindstrom than me, guys. So
take care. Say hi to Wes, Chris. Hold on, get you up. There you go. Say it again.
Hey, Wes.
Say hi to Chris, Wes. And Wes.
What's up, Lindstrom? How are you?
Good, good.
Do you have a question for Chris?
Yeah.
Wes, that way we don't just dump you like, you know, an ex-girlfriend.
No, I was going to – well, Lindstrom knows I've spent all fall doing football with Adazio, so I'm sure we need at some point to converse in a hotel lobby about great Steve Adazio moments.
Hey, I would absolutely love to do that. I can give you plenty of stuff for on the air. And,
oh, my God.
I'd love to see you give him his coaching points.
Right. And for those who don't remember, that's his old coach at BC.
Well, Lindstrom, here's the other thing. Adazio's time management in games could also carry over to his television career, too. So there you go. How's that?
All right, brother.
See you guys Sunday. Take care.
Thanks, Wes. Bonus Wes into our interview with Chris. Again, one of the best linemen in the NFL joins us here live inside the Ticketmaster Studios. Brother, you're a veteran. You've been a Pro Bowler, and it's like, man, there's guys like you and Bijan and Drake. I mean, when are we going to get you guys in the playoffs? How do you keep your chin up?
I think it's really the relationship aspect and the pride that we have in it, and like wanting success in the organization. And I know it hasn't gone our way this year, and it hasn't, you know, in my time here. But you know, every single year, you know, you pour everything into it. You pour everything into every day. And the results don't go your way, it's tough. But in the same sense, all you can do is keep fighting the next day. And that doesn't make it feel better. It doesn't make the record better. But that's the only approach. Right. As a player, you can do. And then, you know, like you said, some of the other guys, Bijan, Drake, when you have guys like that who come in and are competitors like that every day, you have that environment where you got to show up for them because they deserve it because they're putting that in.
Look, I know you're not paying attention to this, but in our world, the media world, there's been a lot of made about the lack of variation in the run game at times. It's due with the wide zone and everything. But in the last few weeks, notice you've pulled on some counter plays, all right?
Yeah, you got Arch all excited on the radio broadcast.
Yeah, and I work with Mike Johnson, who I work with normally in the mornings, is a former offensive line. He played at Alabama and played here, and he gets really excited about that kind of stuff. Is that kind of a matchup thing, or is that maybe – the offense and the run game evolving as far as the scheme?
I think it's just a little bit of evolving in the sense, but you know, I think right now we're a top 10 rushing team, and hopefully get to continue that. And you know, ideally we'd like to be number one if our unit had our way. But you know, you just go in that, and there's different changeups, there's different things, there's different fronts that teams present. For instance, like the Jets had a couple of hard chargers up the field last week, and so we were able to get a trap, and Bijan was able to get, I think, right on that right before the long drive, had a pretty good run.
Talking with Chris Lindstrom, guys, here live in studio. That's the thing. I mean, we've seen the success. We've, you know, it's an attitude. It's, you know, it's a mindset to get out there and just run. It's more fun to be a run blocker than a pass blocker. What's the biggest difference as Kirk has come back for you?
Kirk has done a really good job communicating. For us, the pocket is a little bit different. Just the, you know, Mike's a little bit deeper. Obviously, a little bit, you know, he's going to move around. But in the same sense, Kirk, you know exactly where he's going to be. And so with that, you can move. You have to change your approach, but it's different. It's not, one's not better than the other, but it's just a little bit of a mindset difference in where those are.
A lot of times, Chris, it seems like you use quick jump sets to get guys like a Derrick Brown, right, for which unfortunately you get to see.
Yep.
Seemingly every time we play, he's right over you every time. But how do you adjust when teams walk up linebackers in the blitzing and kind of show those pressure sets with blitzes? How do you have to adjust with the way you pass protect?
Yeah, I think all of it starts with communication, and then situational awareness is the biggest one. And so if it's third down and those backers are walked up, you know, they're one of two things. They're going to run twist games or they're going to drop out into coverage. And so it's a little bit harder to be aggressive on that because, you know, you're expecting movement on those situations. First, second down, you can be a little bit more aggressive. And if they walk up on first, second down, you know, they're probably blitzing and they're responsible for a gap. And so you kind of play the odds a little bit on that. With that, but like you said, yeah, I try and It's a give and take, you know, self-awareness. Like, I'm not the biggest guy out there, but faster. So I try and take up the space in a lot of things. And then Coach Ledford's great in encouraging me to, you know, be aggressive in that. And so if we start the fight at the line of scrimmage, that gives me 7 more yards to get back to the quarterback than going backwards.
Even with the trades the Jets made, that's still a really – I mean, that's a physical bunch. I mean, there's a lot of physicality in the trenches. Mm-hmm. Cold, miserable, raw day up in New York. And now this week you get Seattle. We were talking about it with Coach. That's another physical front seven.
Yeah, I think Leonard Williams is probably one of the best three techniques in the NFL. And, you know, they have a lot of really good players. They play hard, playing within the scheme. And, you know, it shows on the tape, and you see that. And it could be, you know, probably the biggest challenge we've faced this week. And then, like you said, last week, a lot of veterans, like Harrison Phillips has been a guy, is a really good player. And, you know, they're constantly evolving in their staff. But, you know, very good front. And we were able to do a lot of great things. But obviously you got to be better at a couple of stuff to convert and do enough to win.
You know, the difference of the offense in Penix and with Cousins is y'all have gone way more under center, right, and less of the shotgun. How much, not just with that, with being under center, but how much different is it for you to pass protect for a guy like Cousins who maybe won't move as much but is going to be really quick to get the ball out at times? How much different is that for your mindset up front?
It's definitely different, and then it's different in the way that you, the defense is going to attack the pocket, right? Like if you see Kyler Murray or even Michael's got a lot of athletic ability.
Right.
They can't really attack the interior of the pocket as much because, you know, if they flush them, you got to be responsible for the edge. And so you're just a little bit more aware of that, you know, when Kirk and, you know, it was the same thing when we had Matt, that they're going to try and attack the inside of the pocket, you know, try and push it into his lap because they know how good, like you said, like Kirk and those guys are progressing. And Mike is, too, a great pocket passer. It's just a little bit different in how those feel. And it's the same thing, like you said, with the change, like with cadence. It's all the same, but it's just the small little rhythmic differences. Mm.
All right, man, before we cut you loose, Chris Lindstrom's with us, guys. Falcons guard, Pro Bowl the 3 times, one of the best guys in the league. I mean, you are. And we love chatting with you. And Carl and I had the conversation back in the day, 2019, drafted by Thomas Dimitroff. Mm-hmm. But let's talk, because signing day for all these high school kids, way different than it was for you 6 years ago, man. So, by the way, what would you have done with name, image, and likeness? How would you have bankrolled that in BC at Chestnut Hill?
The BC is definitely not this ACC. SCC.
And would you have still gone to BC?
Definitely. I was a home kid, and, you know, I know Wes was joking earlier, but...
you like Adazio?
Yeah, I do. And he took a risk on me. I was a 230-pound offensive lineman, and so he brought me in and was able to develop me, and so I was really a product of the system there, and really thankful for that. And so for the kids today making that decision, I know the environment's different with the money, the things like that, but the biggest thing is the relationships, and a lot of those kids aren't going to make it to the NFL, so I'm really glad that they're, you know, getting the financial success there. But for the ones who do have NFL careers, the relationships still, I feel like, that you have with your coach and your development will lead to success getting those second contracts in the NFL.
So you're telling us you wouldn't have jumped in the portal and said, hey, I can go make like $2 million here.
That's the thing. You could have come. Imagine you down in Georgia or any of these SEC campuses, the fun you'd have.
Yeah.
No disrespect to Chester.
No, I know. I probably would have squeezed BC for as much as they got. So I would have done it.
Adazio comes to you. All right, Lindstrom, we just talked to the owners of Revere Dog Park. We got a sponsorship.
It's funny though, because you did have a big alumnus that was making a lot of money in the NFL that maybe could have funded you some money before you came and blocked for him and Matt.
Yeah, exactly. Now that I'm on the other side, I'm like, he didn't have to. Yeah, Coach Adazio called me on my recruiting thing, and he offered me my end of my junior football season is like February. He calls me like 2 weeks later. He goes, nobody else has offered you. Why haven't you committed yet? And he just kept calling me every day. He's like,
where are you going to go? Holy Cross?
Yeah, exactly. He was just like, yeah, what do you do? What? There's nothing better. Come on. So that was my recruiting.
That's a nice sales pitch.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
But I got to be honest, bro. I mean, when Carl and I talked about it, we've had this conversation with you before, not to blow smoke up your butt, but we're like, we're getting a big lineman, you know, a lineman from Boston College. We know this guy's going to be a plug and play. And that's what you've been. I mean, you got to feel great about, I mean, where are you at? Is this what you envisioned the NFL, 3-time Pro Bowler?
Well, one, the kind words really mean a lot. Seriously. Thank you guys. Yeah, I mean, it's the stuff you dream about and you have the success. And I was able to have role models with Alex Mack and Jake and stuff, right. And they were able to help me. And Coach Ledford came into my career at the perfect time, and you know, a product of the system being a wide zone guy, you know, it just fit and it clicked. And for that, I'll be forever grateful. And the organization has been so good to me that you know, I want the success here as bad as anybody.
Speaking of Jake, you know, he has the ankle, and you've been playing banged up too. You're toughing it out. Does it give you a little extra something when a guy like Jake that's been over there and you know he's dealing with something and you're like, man, I'm not going to let him out-tough me?
Yeah, no, there's definitely a piece of that, because it's like you see what Jake's dealing with and then you go out there and you're like, oh, I'm not going to practice today. And you're like, oh, really? You're not going to go today? Like, Jake's out there, like, all right. Like,
right.
And it's not even spoken like that, because Jake does it. And I think the part two, like, Jake comes to phase one of OTAs. Like, he might be the only guy who's been year 12 starter, right, who's been doing that. And I say this every time I get the chance. I think he's the most underrated professional across the league in terms of not only his consistency of showing up every day, but his consistency in a performance playing at a high level at probably, you know, top five hardest position
right
in the NFL.
And again, and the pressure of going into the family business. Your dad's like the best, one of the best linemen to ever dress out, man. Well, Chris, best of luck against Seattle, man. We always appreciate your honesty and your time. Chris Lindstrom, guys, right inside the Ticketmaster Studios. Good luck on Sunday.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, guys. We're a little bit behind schedule, but we will get back on schedule. We're going to talk to, we're going to talk to Wes. Is done, right? But poor Wes.
Yeah, Wes,
Wes got
done.
Bumped 2 weeks in a row. We will tell you about what Urban Meyer had to say about Kirby, which has some dog fans hopping mad next. Live from Falcons, it's Duke Sabel with Bo. Filling in for Carl.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original. Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Appreciate the feedback on the text line. Can't respond to everything, but a lot of guys loving the interview. You'll hear if you missed it with Raheem Morris. And we talked about why special teams is so bad. What is his message to Falcon fans? You'll hear that coming up, guys, about 5:40 in the 5 o'clock hour. Bo Morgan is in for Carl. Carl is on vacay at the airport right now. Don't know where he's going. Doesn't tell me. I guess he doesn't want this to be out there. He'll save it when we get back. You know me. My life's an open book. If I got something booked, like, I'll tell you. That's the thing. We had this conversation, and Bo, I want to get your take on this. The other day, we were talking about Lane Kiffin, and I said people don't change. I said, yes, there's incremental change, subtle changes. You get, you become a dad, you got to be a little more responsible, but you're still an irresponsible person. You know, you'll still get up and do the right things and hopefully save some money for the kids' college fund, and you'll step up to the plate. But I still think people are people, and they don't change. And Lane Kiffin is showing you his immature, selfish, and I'd be honest, pathological liar at times nature, and it's come back because it never left. He just did a nice job of disguising it the last 6 years.
We've had this argument on the morning show, actually, where I've said people don't change. I don't believe people overly change, and I think your views on things can change, right? And how you see certain situations will change. But remember, I've seen changes in myself since I've had a child where I view certain situations differently or I'm more aware of this or that. Lane's already got a couple of kids. Okay, Lane is 50 years old. He's not changing. He is what he is. Everywhere he goes, he leaves it where it's like there's a burning there's something burning behind him, a house or a car or something, and he's walking away with a grin. And he's always better and seemingly bettering himself out of it, other than maybe the USC and the Raiders thing, which still, I don't know how many people could have been wrong about. Al Davis wasn't wrong, but neither was Lane Kiffin. Jamarcus Russell sucked, and Al Davis was wrong about that, but he was right about Lane Kiffin.
And he brought out the overhead projector that day to show you why Lane Kiffin was not the right man for this job.
Is that the greatest firing press conference of all time?
Oh, it's gold. I mean, that's probably the last time that Al kind of had his fastball. Yeah. Because things started to drift after that, if we're honest. It's got a bit of a mess. But, yeah, we're just talking about it because, like I was telling, you know, Bo off the air, I'm a 12-year-old. I think if you like the show, hopefully you do. I've been able to stick around for a while in this town. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm a 12-year-old with a driver's license. That's what I do. I was talking about this with Mike Conti the other day. That's me, you know. I mean, like, I was just – apropos of nothing, I was just telling the guys, you know, when I do something, like if I book a vacation, I'm like, hey, I just booked a vacation. Okay, because I'm that 12-year-old in me. He's like, I'm excited. It's three months away, but guess what I got? Same thing Black Friday. I went and I got the one of those five packs from the Braves. And I was just telling the guys, it's actually a pretty good deal. And I said, one of my New Year's resolutions, and again, a little early, we're only in December 3rd, but one of my resolutions, and I think I did this last year, didn't work out because I just went over my Chase Visa statement. You don't want to know how much money I spent on StubHub and Ticketmaster and stuff. My goal this year is to only buy tickets direct from the team or the venue. No more. No more. I mean, because it just adds up, man. It just goes a little cuckoo.
You're going to be like the, was it Alabama? The Alabama fans that bought Duke season tickets a few years ago. I can't remember who was talking about it. It might have been you talking about it. But I remember there was a story years ago where that happened.
So they could go Epps. Yep.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, and it was like $150, right, Orin, like for the season.
They bought like the season pack, because no Duke fans were buying them, so they just bought the whole season pack.
Right, and Georgia fans, Orin, would do that at Bobby Dodd back in the day.
Yeah.
In some of the lean years.
That's the thing, that the revisionist history we have in this city alone about stuff, about fans. Go back to that. Remember, was it 2009 when Nesbitt, they were going to the ACC championship game? I covered that game for the old radio station, Mike. There were more Georgia fans there. It reminds me of when people talk about take away from the losing and when they get people complain about Mercedes-Benz and the how other teams' fans show up. Guess what? The Georgia Dome was the same way.
Right.
Unless you were 13-1 late in December, it wasn't full of Falcons fans, or if it was a playoff run. The Georgia Dome was very similar to MBS. The only difference now is people go down in that suite section where they go down behind the bench, and it looks like it's empty behind the bench when in the actual seats, when those people are just, for some reason, choosing to treat the game like a club.
I'm with you, man. Drives me nuts. No, we were just talking about this off the air about, you know, the nature of people and how Lane Kiffin's doing his thing. Speaking of nature of people, if you don't like Chris Paul, I've always thought some guys don't like him. It's kind of like some guys either love or hate Chris Paul around the league. He gets the gate from the Clippers. We're playing them tonight at State Farm Arena. No Chris Paul out there. I said to Carl earlier in the year when we were looking for a backup point guard after we traded Bufkin, I was like, Chris Paul wouldn't be the worst guy. He's only going to play 10 minutes a night, and maybe he'd help. They're saying that him and Tyronn Lue just sideways from the jump. And the latest information reported by Chris Haynes is that Chris Paul requested to have a meeting with Tyronn Lue to discuss allegations of being a negative presence on the Clippers. The Clippers they're off in the weeds, man. They're horrible. They're lost. And apparently Tyronn Lue refused to meet with him. And so that's basically how it went down. So he got to the gate. Lawrence Frank travels here to Atlanta to basically say, you're fired. You're gone.
That sounds...
I still cut the... I mean, like, I don't know if you feel that a backup point guard, I think we could probably use more size in the front court at the trade deadline, and maybe we move on from Porzingis. That's even something that's been reported, that we would do that. I still have no problem with that because Porzingis, this load management is wearing me out. I knew it was always going to be a part of the season, but we're seeing it, and it's annoying.
Yeah, I don't know what you're going to get for Porzingis. I don't know what the thought process was, but I thought at the beginning of the year, the whole point of putting this thing together was to figure out what Trey is and if you want to give him another contract and if you can win with him if he's got the players around. That's why I'm okay with the Porzingis, the fact of the low management. But, Dade, I don't know if I could trade him.
Yeah, I mean, you still obviously, like you said, you want to see what this thing is going to look like with Trey in the midst of all of that.
Right. Especially the playoffs.
Yeah, excuse me. I don't have a problem right now with the load management only because of how well the Hawks have been playing.
Right.
You know, with Trey out and with Porzingis, again, having load management, being in some games, out some games, I like where they're at right now. I mean, if you look at the Eastern Conference standings, they're right in the mix. You've got several teams, you know, they're all kind of knotted up, same record, kind of jockeying for those 4, 5, and 6 spots. So let's see where this thing goes when Trey gets back. But, you know, right now, I can see why some people would be concerned with Porzingis. But, again, let's see what happens when Trey gets back and how it all kind of meshes.
To that point, though, Dede, I think the whole reason that the way the team was put together this year was the idea that we're not going to stress ourselves 3, 4, 5 years down the line. Let's see what we have this year. If it doesn't work this year,
right,
we got flexibility next year because Porzingis is going to expiring.
Exactly.
Trey may not be here. Yep. We got that pick from the Hornets. I mean, the
Pelicans.
That might be a top 5. So let's go ahead and see what we have this year. If it's not good this year, hey, scrap it.
We've got options.
And we can do it next year again. So.
And we got young guys young core.
And I got a lot of guys hitting us up in the text line saying, hey, man, we got to trade for Giannis. They're going to want everything. You're going to gut the team and you'll have Giannis with nobody.
Yeah.
I don't want to give up Jalen Johnson because he's now looking like a rock star. And he's healthy. Knock wood, stay healthy. Real quick, before we break up on Guy Talk, ask yourself, Bo, who's the Mac? You flying down to Jacksonville this weekend?
No.
You're an Owls alum.
No, I'm not. I got to work.
You're Kennesaw State.
Mike.
Where's your pride, Squidbilly?
I've been away from my house 4 out of the last 5 weekends.
Unbelievable. Wow.
I can watch it on TV.
Wow.
And then roll right into the rest of the slate of games.
I wonder if Jerry Mack will get a stab at a job like USF. I mean, I hate to say it.
Well, might have Penn State.
Yeah, well, there were rumors. There were some rumors out there that he was a target of USF. So, but I know they're moving in a different direction now.
Tulane. I don't know if Tulane's filled their opening yet. Baker from LSU is a guy that spent a lot of time there. He's a guy there. Maybe Jerry Mack. I mean, at this point, Jerry Mack, like I said, I'm not joking anymore. He could get Penn State if he wanted to, probably.
But this is the story, guys. It's Jacksonville State, Kennesaw State. It's the Conference USA Championship game. It's Friday night, 7 o'clock, to Bo's part on TV. So you can sit there at Stately Squidbilly Manor and watch it. Jacksonville State did beat Kennesaw State 35-26.
Yeah, good game.
Back a few weeks back. But, hey, man, hopefully the Owls can get it done. I love talking to Jerry. He's a really likable guy. And, unfortunately, if you're a Kennesaw State fan, you hope you get to hold on to him for a minute. Hey, man, that's Guy Talk. We had to get caught up because we were behind schedule with Coach and with Chris Lindstrom. And I did tease it. Let me just pay it off. Didn't see this because I don't really pay attention to what Urban Meyer said. But a lot of Georgia fans are upset. Like, it's Urban Meyer being Urban Meyer, saying he doesn't think that Kirby is the best coach. Well, last time I checked, he's the one guy with multiples. And he said that Ryan Day is a better coach. Shocking. He's kissing up to Ohio State. I can't watch that Fox show. I can't watch ESPN. I just wait till the games start because I don't need any bloviating. I know I'm in the minority, but, man, I can't stand Urban Meyer, man. It just wears me out.
Yeah, Urban's
such a phony.
Well, it's tough, but I'll tell you one thing. If you can catch Saban breaking down the games on ESPN, when he breaks down film with Herbstreit and Reese Davis, that's the best thing on TV in college football coverage.
Hey, one last nugget. I'm a big racing fan. Squidbilly 2, Formula 1, Cadillacs coming into F1 Day-Day. And they're going to drop what this car is going to look like and the uniforms. They're going to have a commercial during the Super Bowl.
Oh.
So during the Super Bowl, we're going to find out. If you're – that's my team next year. We may suck, but I love Botas, and that's my guy. Valtteri Botas, Sergio Perez, Checo from Mexico, and Cadillac, American – nothing against Haas, but Cadillac, cover me in. Can't wait. That's it, Guy Talk. Coming up, Falcons. What did Coach have to say? Also hear that in the 5 o'clock. And Rusty Manziel is going to join us to break down what the heck's going on with recruiting because Georgia apparently is slipping according to some of the rankings. This hour of Dukesville brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.